Good morning. It is time to get up with Viva Las Vegas. The slots surprise the Saints to wrap up week two. What does it mean? We've got one answer they won't like in New Orleans. Meanwhile, the city not showing a lot of brotherly love to Carson Wentz. Is he one bad performance away from a seat on the bench? And it's unthinkable, but it may be true. Are the Pats better off without the greatest player of all time? We've got answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on a Tuesday, starting right now. Greeny and Graziano here, and the football crew is standing by and ready to go, coming off an interesting one on Monday Night Football last night. Let's take a look and see who we've got ready to go for you this morning. We have ready to roll Marcus Spears, the big swagoo. Jeff Saturday ready to go, and Greg McElroy has got quarterback tapes galore as we come off of a surprise last night, Monday Night Football. Let's take a look. Raiders opening up their beautiful new home, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, hosting the Saints. They have a torch lighting to christen the new stadium, and that's Carol Davis, wife of the late legend Al Davis, there to do the honor. So we pick it up. Raiders down 10 in the second quarter, but they're driving. And this is Derek Carr. This is Zay Jones in the corner of the end zone. And just like that, the Raiders are within three, and they're moving. Ensuing Saints drive. Less than a minute left in the half. This is a huge moment in the game. Saints looking for points late. Drew Brees, are you kidding? That's a terrible interception. Nicholas Morrow with the easy pick. Raiders turn it into points. So we're tied at 17 at halftime. Brees' first pick of the year. First possession now, third quarter for the Raiders. John Gruden, fourth and goal from the one. It's Las Vegas, so why not gamble? And the gamble pays off. Carr, Darren Waller, touchdown. Waller, 12 catches, 103 yards. Raiders up 24-17. Early fourth, that's still the score. Third and two at the 34. Jalen Richard has it. Wait a minute, Jalen Richard does not have it. P.J. Williams has it for the Saints. They're going to credit Carr with the fumble, but candidly, watch this. It just goes right through Richard's hands, and the Saints are there to capitalize. So they should turn that into points, but they don't. Third and seven. Brees, incomplete. Saints don't take advantage of the opportunity. They have to punt it away. Ensuing possession for the Raiders. 8 minutes to go in the fourth. Richard catches it this time. Richard tiptoeing this time. He's up the sideline and he's in. Raiders ran for 116 yards. They're up two scores. Saints trying to answer. First and goal. Four and a half to play. Alvin Kamara. He had 22 touches in this game. 174 yards, two touchdowns. It's a seven-point game. Ensuing Raider drive. Huge moment. Carr looking to run the clock out. This is third and five. He's throwing it up for the rookie Ruggs. Incomplete, but watch the flag. Janoris Jenkins called for pass interference. You tell me. Good call. Raiders cash in on a crucial penalty later in the drive. A minute to go. Daniel Carlson from 54 yards away looking to ice it. And ice it he does. That one's good. Raiders can celebrate a win in their home debut. They take it by 10, 34-24. And John, much rejoicing.
Great vibes in our locker room. Everybody, you know, to be a part of winning the first game in history last week and then winning against a great team who's, I think, won 15 or 16 out of 18 on the road at home on Monday Night Football is a great thrill for all of us.
Are we totally in sync right now? No, we're not. We're not even close to what we are capable of. Not even close. My job's not to have the most air yards or throw the ball down the field the most or anything like that. My job is to help us win. My job is to help put everybody around me in the best position to succeed.
All right, so you're wondering, look, he Brees' numbers, if you didn't watch the game, actually came out looking pretty good. And you say, why is he defending his air yards? Because he has averaged fewer than five per attempt this season. That's the fewest by any quarterback in 11 years through two games. And we obviously know what the expectations are for New Orleans and for Brees this year. And thus far, 1-1, but off to sort of a slow start. Let's talk about just how slow. Jeff Saturday, we know what the Saints' expectations are. Through 2 weeks, do they look like a championship team to you?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, I know they beat the Bucs in week one, but you're looking at a team who, from penalties, they can't get themselves. I think they're leading the league in penalties. They're not disciplined, and they don't scare you offensively. I understand Drew Brees is trying to, you know, protect, hey, air yards and all that. But bottom line, the Raiders' defense could climb up almost to the line of scrimmage and never felt threatened. And I know Mike Thomas isn't there, but at some point, you have to challenge a team vertically. If you don't, it's like a boa constrictor. It just continues to get tighter and tighter, and you can't make throws. And by the way, From Drew Brees, last year he led the NFL to throws outside the number. This year, he's last. Why does that happen? Because if no one's scaring you over the top, everything gets tighter from the outside in. This offense looks completely out of sync. I understand Alvin Kamara trying to get that thing going, but this has been an ugly two games for the Saints, even though they're 1-1.
Swagger, what do you see?
Gee, we know damn well this don't look like a Super Bowl contender. Listen, this is the New Orleans Saints. A lot of people had them projected to go to the Super Bowl, but not only that, we expect them to put points up. What world are we living in where we don't think the Saints are going to score more than 24 points on the Raiders? And Drew Brees is going to throw an interception at the two-minute drill. Are you kidding me? Drew Brees is missing passes, and I'm not putting this all on him because this vaunted defense that they're supposed to have got ran through last night. That Raiders offensive line,
that's right,
with a backup tackle, were physical. They were running the football, and Derek Carr was on fire. Waller taking advantage of everybody that tried to cover him. Hell no, they don't look like a Super Bowl team. The Saints that I'm used to seeing look like a Super Bowl team are not only putting points on the board and fireworks are going off like crazy, defensively, they're making opportunistic plays. They couldn't get off the field on every important down last night. They got issues.
Yeah, they seem to. And, you know, Greg, for those who didn't watch the game last night, you might just look at the numbers and you say Brees was 26 of 38 for 312 yards. Those are pretty good numbers. But they belie what our eyes are seeing. As you watch, what do you see right now with the 41-year-old future Hall of Famer?
The velocity is just not what it once was. And they're trying to protect him a little bit, Greeny, by keeping the ball thrown within 5 or 6 yards of the line of scrimmage. It's obvious that they tried to make Alvin Kamara a big part of the offense. But you look at what happened in first and 10 situations last night. We've seen 10 penalties for nearly 130 yards, meaning they got off schedule, which means there wasn't really any reason for Oakland to come up and play aggressive defense. They just kept it in front of them, and they rallied up to make plays on the football. But when you watch Brees, there are throws he's missing that he has never missed at any point in his career. He looks a little bit out of sync. Clearly, the separation with the wide receivers hasn't been consistent the way we've seen in years past. And it's something they absolutely have to get sorted out, because for as good as Brees and Kamara can be, it won't matter if they're completely off schedule offensively.
I think there's a real level of concern to be had here, because the expectation coming off of this unusual offseason was that the teams who've been together and have great veteran leadership would have an advantage as the season starts. So for the Saints to start slowly, I think, is a concern. Meanwhile, on the other side, if you did not see John Gruden in the Raiders locker room postgame, you're in for a treat. Take a look.
Nothing.
No, you know, we do a feature here usually, Marcus, called Swagoo Says. What was that? What exactly, Mark, how would you interpret what John Gruden was doing in that celebration in that locker room last night?
Listen, it was what you want to see, man. I tell people all the time, Greg knows this, Jeff Saturday knows this, G. Wins are hard to come by in this league. I was a part of a new stadium opening and we lost, and our locker room was nothing like that. Afterwards, Jerry came down and said, hey, fellas, I got bills to pay. Y'all better win some games. So the fact that John Gruden is celebrating like that, that's a huge win for Oakland, man. I didn't pick them to win. I had the score flipped. I thought Saints would be 34. They would be 24. But that's just a celebration, because these wins are hard to come by. John Gruden has been under scrutiny for the moves he made when he first came in. This is a statement win for the Raiders. Now, we excoriating the Saints and talking about what they're not. I don't care. To win this game in Las Vegas for their first time opening the stadium up, to beat the Saints, that's a big deal for the Las Vegas Raiders, man.
No question.
And I'm going to stop saying Oakland at some point, G. But
I was just
going
to say, if you're keeping track at home, that's two Oaklands so far this morning. I think you can count on the fact that there will be more. Meanwhile, Saturday, the Raiders are 2-0. Now, they played a team last night that we all expect to be good, and they're sitting there at 2-0. How good are they?
This is a playoff caliber football team. And I'll tell you why. Everybody throws down on Derek Carr and crushes him. I've kind of been a Derek Carr apologist the last couple years. But this guy's thrown for 4,000 yards the last couple years. And now you couple him with Josh Jacobs, who is the true catalyst. I mean, you had three offensive linemen banged up. You would never know it. Josh Jacobs running behind his pads, smashing people, playing with just a nasty disposition. And you're talking about Derek Carr, who's finding the open man. And listen, give John Gruden a ton of credit. If you look at both games, both weeks, he's almost exact on his run-to-pass ratio, which is absolutely insane in the NFL. But he has kept this thing balanced. He understands what is required for Derek Carr to be successful and for his offense. That's running the rock and then open up with play-action pass. Give him a ton of credit. They beat a very good Saints football team, and they look good.
Josh Jacobs, 27 carries, 88 yards last night. Greg, we'll have more time to talk about it later, but quickly, what do you see from Derek Carr right now?
Well, I like how they're using play action, token play action, to just buy time for Derek Carr. And the other thing, too, guys, he was blitzed 17 times last night. 17, which is one of the highest numbers in the entire NFL over the course of the weekend. And he had an answer for every single pressure. He knew exactly where his outlets were. He was accurate with the football. And honestly, when you're looking at quarterbacks, you're only as good as your supporting cast. It might not be a bunch of A-list names on this Raider team, but I tell you what, they got some matchup problems. Waller is a problem. And then you have a guy like Renfro in the slot who's a problem. Jacobs is excellent catching the ball out of the backfield. They have guys that can win one-on-one matchups and can create yards after catch. So I am really encouraged by what I've seen. And I think if he continues to make good decisions, then Carr's going to be in a great spot to have a nice year.
And again, the rookie Henry Ruggs last night didn't factor. You look at the stat sheet, he didn't do a lot, but he did draw the big interference penalty at the end that played huge into the final. Guys, stay with me. I've got Dan Graziano here in studio this morning, and let us open up the notebook if we can, Dan, and run the hurry up. A lot of coaches around the league fined for not wearing masks. What can you tell us?
Three coaches, Denver's Vic Fangio, Seattle's Pete Carroll, San Francisco's Mike Shanahan, fined $100,000 each, and their teams were fined $250,000 each because they're violating the rules that require coaches to wear those masks while they're on the sideline. If you were watching last night's game, which of course we hope you were, these other guys that were coaching that game are going to get fined too because they did not have their masks on all night either.
Gruden and Peyton. Meanwhile, Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey out 4 to 6 with an ankle. What more can you tell us?
It's an ankle sprain. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey, who's never missed an NFL game, will miss his first one this week. He believes he can come back quicker. The Panthers are prepared for him to miss at least a month. Obviously, a huge blow for a team that runs its entire offense through this player.
And then finally, the Niners were devastated by injuries this weekend. Bosa, Thomas, Garoppolo at MetLife Stadium, and they're talking about the turf. What are you hearing?
Yeah, torn ACLs for Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas. Jimmy Garoppolo has an ankle sprain. They're hopeful that he can play through it this week. They are back at MetLife Stadium to play the Giants this Sunday. They're staying out in West Virginia for the week and then coming back to New Jersey. Niners GM John Lynch had a call with the league office yesterday to talk about the turf at MetLife Stadium. They felt like it was sticky, in their word. So in these cases, what happens is the players' union and the league send people to the stadium. They check out the turf. They check out the kind of footwear that the guys were using. They try and figure out if the turf might have had some responsibility for the injuries. They can review game film and see that. But, you know, the Giants are saying, we've practiced on this thing all through camp. The Steelers didn't have a problem with it after week one. The Niners would like to be more convinced that it's safe for their players on Sunday.
One way or another, it was an easy win, but it was a devastating day for a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. And we are just getting started. Coming up on this morning on Get Up, he was explosive with his arms and his legs Sunday night. Are the Patriots better with Cam Newton than they were with Tom Brady? We'll answer that question. And this one, is the solution to the Eagles' problems at quarterback sitting him on the bench? You've got all these questions, and we've got all your answers as we continue. And then I'm asking you to answer the poll question this morning on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. These four teams, all 0-2, which one would you bet will make the playoffs? Minnesota, Houston, Atlanta, Philly. Go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Cast your vote. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Lexus. Experience amazing. And by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Cam Newton was terrific Sunday night for the Patriots. Came up 1 yard shy of beating the Seahawks, but did find the end zone three times and produced 444 yards of offense. Yesterday here, Ryan Clark was talking about how Cam has elevated the play of everyone around him.
What I've seen fit more than anything is Cam, the football player, the big, physical, strong, confident quarterback, and Josh McDaniels' offense. They needed this piece. The fact that it took them so long to realize that is beyond me. He's made the players on the outside better. He's made this offense more versatile, and they are more fun to watch and effective than they were late in the season last year.
That conversation was part of Ryan Clark scolding me for not just spitting out what I was trying to say, because I didn't want to say out loud the words, "The Patriots are better without Tom Brady." But as he said it, I was glad he did. Swagoo, is that the case? Are the Patriots better without Tom Brady?
Yeah, they're better offensively. If anybody's watching, they understand why. Look, we talked about the personnel. It didn't get any better other than Cam Newton. N'Keal Harry is playing better. Julian Edelman obviously still doing his thing. But you look at Cam and the versatility he gives the offense. It's about what can you do, G. We're looking at all of these quarterbacks. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. We're looking at even Derek Carr last night. We're looking at these young guys create things in offenses that are not the normal standard drop back, stand in the pocket and throw the ball. Yes, your personnel gets better. You buy more time for them to get open. We talked about the lack of separation from the New England Patriots last year. You know what happens now? Cam gets rushed. They can't separate. Cam moves around. Somebody finds an open area. He's playing great, man. This is Cam damn Newton we talking about. He has been making people around him better while he's been in the league for his entire career. Think about, like, who was a world beater outside of Steve Smith at wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers? Nobody.
Right.
He's doing what he's been doing. When healthy, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. That's the bottom line.
And so right now he looks healthy. Greg, what are you seeing as you look at the tape?
Well, if there's one thing we know, and Spears will tell you this, I think Jeff will tell you this too, is quarterback run is the ultimate neutralizer. And right now with their RPO game, they really have it working. So let's look a little bit at what Cam was trying to do. And I love this little sweep read. You see the end man on the line of scrimmage. He stays wide. No problem. I'm 260. I'm going to go up inside and take it myself. Almost find pay dirt. All right. A little bit later, look at the effect on the linebacker. All right. Balls into the belly of Rex Burkhead. And look at how the linebackers react. Those linebackers' eyes are in the backfield, so concerned with quarterback run on 4th and 3, a passing situation, and yet he's able to find N'Keal Harry. And we talked. I mean, we just heard Spears say, well, when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the business. Let's see how healthy he is, all right? Right here, you know, just a real casual, nice, take your time, backside minus 14-yard line. Let's rip it downfield as far as I possibly can on a frozen rope. Yeah, 56 yards on the button. So we talk about that new throwing motion. We talk about that arm strength. And I'm telling you, Greeny, Spears, and Jeff, I'd be curious if y'all agree with this. I think his second half against Seattle was the best I've seen Cam play since his MVP season in 2015. He was comfortable, he was decisive, he was accurate, and the velocity on his throws was as good as it's been in a while.
He looks extremely comfortable. They looked extremely good, and that's a good team. Spears is obviously with you. How about you, Saturday? Tom Brady is the reason that you don't have like 4 or 5 rings on your fingers. So I know how much you respect him. Are they better off right now? The way they look right now, what are you seeing in them?
They are absolutely better, and here's why. Because their receivers are spot receivers. What does that mean? Wherever they catch it, spot the ball right there, because they ain't doing anything explosive after the catch, man. So you need to play 11-on-11 football. You know what I mean? So now you got a quarterback who can play 11-on-11. And so now it makes the defense play differently, because right now, wherever Cam throws it, go ahead and blow the whistle, and let's move, you know, get to set the huddle, because that's what's happening. And so now you have Cam Newton, who, like everybody said, can buy time, can make plays with his legs, can be physical down in the red zone. and it's made defenses play back, whereas opposed to when it was Tom Brady with that same type of – they can pin their ears back and come after Brady, who can't make anything happen with his legs. So, obviously, right now, with the way Cam Newton is playing, this is a definite better fit for the Patriots and this offense as opposed to last year with Tom Brady.
So, I go really quickly. I got 30 seconds. The Bills are playing a similar offense to what Cam used to be. Who's the team to beat in the AFC East right now?
New England Patriots. Listen, I'm not moving
Absolutely.
Off of that, G. That, look, Josh Allen right now has played the Miami Dolphins and the Jets. Cam Newton just took the New England Patriots up against Seattle and was an inch away from winning that game. It's the Patriots.
It's going to be fascinating to watch as this thing goes the rest of the way. Meanwhile, we're just getting started. Lots more football to go, including Jerry Jones. Could not have been happier after the Cowboys' incredible comeback. But Graziano says it's going to cost Jerry big time, and you will hear why coming up next. Plus, Mahomes and Lamar with unexpected company. The MVP candidate that no one saw coming is on the way here on Get Up. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one's for Graziano. Dan, which team has taken the most offensive snaps while leading this season? Which team has played from in front the most? The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and as we approach the bottom of the hour, in case you missed it last night, the Raiders opened up their new stadium in Las Vegas, hosting the favored Saints. But this one wouldn't go the way they expected. Early fourth quarter, Raiders up a touch. And they're going to turn it over. So the Raiders are up 7 points. Derek Carr credited with the fumble when the ball just goes through the hands of Jalen Richard. And so you think to yourself, all right, here's the opportunity the Saints need. They'll cash in behind Drew Brees, who had thrown a bad pick at the end of the first half. And then they are incomplete here. They fail to capitalize, so they have to punt it away, and they give it back to the Raiders, who are able to take control of the game. This is Jalen Richard. This time he hangs on. This time he tiptoes up the sideline, and he's in for the score. Carr would pass for 282, and the Raiders, in a surprise, come away a winner on Monday night, 34-24, the final. And Drew Brees, a big part of the conversation today. He had a good regular season last year. He was 8-3 in the games he started. He threw for 270 yards per game. But since the playoff game last year against the Vikings, Brees is 1-2, his passing yards per game down 45 yards, and his air yards per attempt the worst of any quarterback in the NFL. Sneaky Hembo is calling out Graziano this morning.
I'm going to guess Kurt Warner.
My guess is Tyrod Taylor.
So I'm going to guess Andy Reid.
He's the best. He is the best at this. No one has ever been better at anything. He is the Babe Ruth of Sneaky Hembo time. So the showdowns between Hembo and Graziano are the stuff of legend, and here comes today's. Which team in the NFL through 2 weeks has taken the most offensive snaps while leading, meaning they've been ahead in these games?
I'm thinking it has to be one of the teams that's 2-0. My first thought was Baltimore, but they haven't scored as many as the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to guess that Green Bay is the answer.
Oh, it's close, but it's not correct. Oh. The answer is the Rams. The Rams with 105 snaps. The Ravens are second, right behind them. Following them, the Bills, the 49ers, meaning the two teams that have played the Jets, and then the Steelers and the Packers. That's pretty much the way this
really
is gone.
Close.
You were not far off, but score that one.
He was due.
For Hembo. Meanwhile, Graziano, you have a column every week in which you put in some hot takes and you decide if they are an overreaction or not an overreaction. Let's run through some of these. First, Josh Allen is an MVP candidate. Is that an overreaction?
Through two games, it is absolutely not an overreaction. Josh Allen looks fantastic. He was the biggest question the Bills had coming into this season. He is the fourth quarterback to throw for more than 700 yards, at least 6 touchdowns, and no interceptions in his first two games. The other three you may have heard of, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Patrick Mahomes, have a combined 9 MVP awards. There's no question through two games, Josh Allen is in this discussion.
Next, the Vikings season is already over. Is that an overreaction or not?
It's an overreaction because it's too early. Look, they looked awful. I mean, you cannot look worse as an offense than the Minnesota Vikings did on Sunday. The Colts, I think, have a good defense, but still no excuse. But remember, there are 7 playoff teams per conference this year. This is a Minnesota Vikings team that has recovered from tough starts in the past and still made the playoffs. Mike Zimmer has a record of making the playoffs since he's been there. Hasn't had a losing season since 2014, which was his first year in Minnesota.
And then one more. Dak Prescott will be the highest paid player in football next year. Overreaction or not?
Absolutely not an overreaction. Remember, Dak Prescott playing on the franchise tag. We have covered this in some detail here on this show throughout the past year and a half. He is going to be a free agent in March if the Cowboys don't sign him, and his price is only going up with performances like the one he had Sunday coming back against the Falcons. He is in a great spot to cash in historically big.
Can you expand on that thought? What does historically big mean, Dan Graziano? What number could we be talking about here?
Look, the big number right now is Patrick Mahomes, whose new money averages $45 million a year, although the structure is a little weird. It's a 12-year deal. It can be interpreted a couple different ways. Deshaun Watson's making $39 million a year in his new money. So if you're Dak Prescott, it has to start at 40 and probably higher. Because if you do the math, if the Cowboys franchise him next year and franchise him again in 2022, that's going to cost them $92 million over 2 years. That's $46 a year. So he's already past Mahomes if he does nothing and they just want to keep him on franchise tag. All the leverage is with the player here. And the only way the Cowboys are going to be able to sign him is if he gives them a break. And I think he showed us pretty convincingly this summer that he's not interested in doing that.
Absolutely. And so he is betting on himself and right now winning in a huge way. Jeff Saturday, let me bring you in on this. What do you see there? What are you seeing here in Dak, and what do you hope happens?
Let me tell you what I see. I see a 110-foot yacht called Keeping Up with the Joneses in Dak Prescott's future. And it should look like that. It is absolutely ridiculous. They didn't get him signed before. I hope he keep Kirk Cousins him. He, since 2016 to now, Kirk has made the most money in the NFL. Dak is going to keep doing that. Keep franchising him and make him pay you, my man. And when you're on that yacht in March, think about me. Maybe helicopter me out. Whatever I can do, come out and hang out. I love the water because this guy has earned it in every way, Greeny. Think about it, man. If you want him to hand it off to Zeke, feed me, he'll do it. No complaints. If he needs to throw it 40 times, he'll do it. Go win games. Never complains. Ultimate team guy, ultimate franchise guy. I don't know what else you can ask from this guy, man. I mean, at the end of the day, they should have paid him. Now he's going to be sitting back appreciative of the money he's about to make from the Joneses.
And Swaggoo, putting the money piece of this aside for just a moment, you're my resident former Cowboy here, and you've been a part of these conversations forever. Did Sunday feel like a little bit of a turning point with falling behind the way they did and needing to play the way they did and Dak coming up as big as he did? Did it feel like a day we may look back on someday as the day things turned a little bit for Dak Prescott?
Absolutely, G. And think about the conversations we had. The justification for not paying Dak the amount of money is the close game losses. And what could he have done to get his team over the hump? And now you mount a comeback like this from going 0-2 to 1-1, and you put a performance together with 450 yards, scoring, almost being concussed and coming back into the game, making huge throws to Amari Cooper down the middle of the field, a huge throw to CeeDee Lamb on the sideline. This is what you do to prove that you can lift your team when it's not all working. That's how you get paid. That's how you become one of the highest paid guys in the league. Think about the guys we think about when we talk about the money. Graz mentioned Patrick Mahomes lift his team out of bad situations in the playoffs, and we just saw him do it Sunday. We think about Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien might not have a job if Deshaun Watson wasn't his quarterback. Russell Wilson lifting Seattle out of situations since he's been there. Now Dak is starting to put his resume together saying, if you don't have me, you don't have a guy that can pull you out of situations like this. And that's how you get $40 to $45 million a year.
So again, that's got off to a very good start for him. And the Cowboys are competing in what looks like a bad division, the NFC East. Why does it look so bad? At least in part because of the early struggles of the Eagles and that man, their quarterback, Carson Wentz. Here's what's trending now. Wentz looks like a different player than the one who led the Eagles to the playoffs last year with that 4-0 finish. He currently leads the league with 5 turnovers. He's one of 3 quarterbacks to lose each of his first 2 games by double digits. And from an accuracy standpoint, Wentz is just spraying the ball all over the field. He has made 20 off-target throws this year, most in the league, and 15 of those have come inside a clean pocket. Stephen A. Smith yesterday on First Take just went to town on Carson Wentz.
These first two games, Max is 100% right. He's looked like straight garbage. He's making mistake after mistake. He's trying to overcompensate when there is no reason to do so. And when you are the quarterback, that's not problematic. That is the problem. Here's the problem. The city of Philadelphia is panicking about you, Carson Wentz.
Of that, there is no question. So, Greg, I know you put together a tape for us on this one as well this morning. For those who haven't really had a chance to see it, why is Carson Wentz struggling?
Look, I can live with inaccurate throws. Those have a tendency of correcting themselves. So what I can't live with is bad decision-making, and his footwork, guys, is at times a disaster. Let's go to a critical down and distance. It's 3rd and 2. All right, gotta have it. You know, man coverage. When you see that guy running across the field, it's man coverage. You know that with the motion. You have leverage right now to the flat. Hit your running back, 1st and 10, piece of cake throw. Instead, he tries to force it. There's 4 defenders to the right with only 3 wide receivers. Throws off targets, incomplete. How about this throw? All right, you win against a safety and press coverage over the top. He tries to throw back shoulder. You got to see where your wide receiver is relative to where the defender is. He tries to throw back shoulder, but should have thrown it upfield. And then it's potentially a touchdown or a big play. And then this play drives me absolutely crazy. Spears and Saturday. Y'all try throwing while doing the splits. Tell me how that's going to work out for you. Look how wide those feet are. His overstride. He doesn't get enough on the football. He's drifting away. He's completely off balance. And as a result, he's late, and it allows the defender to undercut it to intercept it. These are careless mistakes when it comes to decision-making in the pre-snap, but also even when the play is going on. Clean pocket. His feet get too wide. He becomes inaccurate. He's got to clean these things up. And, guys, fundamentally, it's really hard to adjust and work on footwork during the season because you just don't have the same level of time to focus on your own fundamentals. You're more focused on what the other team might be throwing at you. So he's got some issues and needs to work it out quickly.
Marcus, in a word, why? Why is this happening? This is a guy who we thought last year had turned that corner. He had led that team. He played so well. We were talking about him as an MVP candidate during the offseason. Why is this happening?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
He's pressing, G, but more importantly, man, like, look, I'm to the point. Carson Wentz is a flash player. Like, that's who he is. The outside of the MVP season before he got injured, he's an up-and-down player. Highs are very high. Lows are as bad as you can possibly get. Now, bear with me when I say this. This reminds me, personally, of Jameis Winston. How many times have we said, Jameis Winston looks like a top five quarterback when he's playing at a high level? And then when he plays terrible and starts throwing interceptions, which Carson Wentz is doing this year, the fumbles have been an issue, but he hadn't really gave the ball away through the air. We start talking about, nah, this ain't going to get it done. This going to have you bouncing around trying to figure out what kind of guy you are. The worst thing you can be, Jeff can speak to this, Greg can speak to this. Worst thing you can be in the NFL is a guy that your coach doesn't know what he's going to get on Sundays. And that's what Carson Wentz is becoming. He better be very careful because Jalen Hurts was drafted in the second round. And the second round ain't just a pick you throw out there to say, we need a guy to back our quarterback up. Be very careful, Carson Wentz. You better get this thing right real, real fast, boss.
I'm hearing that's an excellent point. And Graziano, that's where I want to come to you. They play Cincinnati this week. This is a game that they will be very much expected to win. I'm hearing people suggest that if it doesn't go well this Sunday, that the Jalen Hurts thing may not be that far off. What are we hearing in Philly?
I don't think it's that close. Look, I mean, we've gotten 41 minutes into the show, and I have not yet said it's only been 2 weeks. But it's only been 2 weeks, and everyone has a couple bad games. When they're your first two, it's a big issue, and it becomes something that people talk about. Look, the Eagles, Marcus is absolutely right. The Eagles did not draft Jalen Hurts in the second round because they thought he was going to be a Taysom Hill-style gadget player. They think he's going to be an NFL quarterback, and so does he at some point. The way Carson Wentz's contract is structured, the Eagles are pretty much locked into it through the 2022 season, unless they want to take a massive, massive cap hit in one of the next couple of off seasons, or unless they were able to trade him. They're a long way from giving up on Carson Wentz. That said, I do believe you will start to see Jalen Hurts on the field more in certain packages, and I do believe if something were to happen to Carson Wentz, who has an injury history, that Jalen Hurts would be a strong candidate to be the backup and replace him. He was the number two quarterback for them on Sunday, and that means they are comfortable putting him into a game if they have to.
Who would have imagined that we'd be 2 weeks into the season and this is the conversation that we are having? I remember back in July, we were talking about, is Carson Wentz going to be the MVP this year? Does he take a step forward? Now their offensive line is banged up and he is playing badly. We'll have much more football as we go. And they are part of the poll question this morning. Do you think the Eagles are still going to make the playoffs? They're 0-2. So is Atlanta, Houston, and the Vikings. You can vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. Let me know which of these teams you would bet will still make the postseason. Meanwhile, to the hoop we will go next. LeBron James adding to his own legacy by helping his superstar teammate establish his own. We will ask Vince Carter his thoughts on what it means that it was AD who knocked down the shot heard around the world. VC, live next. Get up on ESPN.
We haven't done anything special. We have three more to go.
We're just going to play through it. We're going to find a way. We're not going to go away too easy.
The Lakers have been dominating teams in these playoffs.
They're the comeback kids. That's what we call them. And they're in the Western Conference Finals for a reason.
Nikola Jokic gives the Nuggets a one-point lead with 20.8 left. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!
What a moment. Anthony Davis has been a really good player for a really long time, but there's no question that's the biggest shot of his career, and it gave the Lakers a 2-0 lead over Denver the other night. This is Vince Carter. And, you know, Vince, we were talking about this morning. The fact that that ball goes to Davis, that play is designed for Davis and not LeBron James to take the last shot, what does that say about LeBron himself?
Well, Greeny, two things to me. First and foremost, it was understood from the beginning, LeBron making it crystal clear that they're a two-headed monster and AD is important to the Lakers' success. Two, In game situations like this, when you have a two-headed monster, you have tiers and you have options. You just roll down your options. So the Lakers saw that they have Jokic on AD at the end of the game, and then they bring in more bigs. And if you watch Plumlee and Grant communicated that they were going to switch, but as the ball comes in, you'll notice that Grant gets locked in on LeBron, and he forgets to switch. And who does he forget to switch to? Anthony Davis. But you can see the play is initially run for Anthony Davis, who was playing well. And what the Lakers did, and shout out to coaching, is they exploited a matchup situation that they saw earlier in the game that was working and that would be there. Now, obviously, the second option will be LeBron over the top for an ISO and to get into his bag and do what he has to do.
I get it. But LeBron James is an immortal. He's a superstar on the level with a lot of guys who in their careers would never have been the second option in that spot. Correct. Very tough for me to picture Michael Jordan ever being the second option on a game-winning shot at the end of a playoff game.
Who would be the first option for Michael Jordan?
Say that again?
Who would be the first option for Michael Jordan with Michael Jordan? Maybe Scottie Pippen sometimes when he's rolling.
Yeah, it could be Scottie.
We're looking at a different level when you're talking about AD right now in today's game. So LeBron has shown that he's willing to pass the ball and defer to his guys if they're open. He wants to make the right play. And then there's moments when he's needed. He's going to take the ball and either demand the ball, take the ball, break the play, and do what has to be done. But now he doesn't have to do that. Yes, he's older, but he's shown, even though he's older, he can get to where he has to go. But he knows how important, if they're going to make it to the NBA Finals, that guy right there that wears number 3 is extremely important in his growth and confidence as they move forward.
Yeah, so maybe what we're saying here is if we go back to before the season began, when they put those two guys together, Anthony Davis and LeBron, we said this has the potential to be as good a 1-2 punch as the league has seen in a very long time, maybe ever, based upon Anthony Davis's potential stature in the game. He's getting there, isn't he? He right now has reached that point where he is 1A with LeBron James on this Laker team.
I think so. I think he's 1A. He's definitely getting there, growing into his role and understanding. I think at first it's like, yeah, this is LeBron's team. Yes, we all know it's LeBron James' team. Don't get it messed up by any means. But LeBron also understands how important it is for his 1B or number 2, whatever you choose, to dominate. And he's a guy that can dominate his matchup. Sometimes teams put a smaller hybrid type player on him. Sometimes they try to put a bigger player on him. And he's able to dominate at either guy. And right now, you're seeing growth. You're seeing trust. You're seeing confidence from LeBron James that you can get him the ball and we'll deal with the result. And the results right now are shining through that he can get it done.
And right now, they're 6 wins away from an NBA championship. They'll play game 3 of that series tonight. Meanwhile, Vince, speaking of buzzer beaters, do you have one from your career that stands out more than any of the others?
Do I have one? I have a few that stands out. But let's see. I want to say
the Mavericks one.
5 times in Dallas. I want to say it was game 3 in the playoffs, as you see here. And, you know, Greeny, let's go back. We talk about options. Let's not get it messed up. I was the number 3 option in this play. I was number 3. We know that guy that wears number 41, who is a for sure Hall of Fame first ballot, Dirk Nowitzki, is our 1 option. Number 2 option is definitely Monte Ellis, and that was 3, and I was open. But if you notice here, the celebration, the shot goes in, I'm living the moment. My guy, Mark Cuban, winds up and gives me the low blow bomber to this gun for the win. You know, you're celebrating the moment like, yes, yes, you see right here, I'm celebrating when everybody in Cuban winds up and bow, jabs me in the gut. But it was an exciting moment. And to be a number 3, you see Dirk coming up. Hey, I get the ball. And they had trust and confidence in me to knock down the shot.
What a moment. Here it is. Here's that moment again from Mark Cuban.
You see it, the bomber.
It's an odd way to celebrate.
My guy, DeJuan Blair, also with the left high jab as well. So it was a great moment. But, you know.
It's a great moment. Vince Carter, thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll check in later this week as we continue. And again, tomorrow night we will have game 4 in the East between the Heat and the Celtics, with Miami currently up 2 games to 1. Tip-off 8:30 Eastern following NBA Countdown
critical night in the NBA tomorrow night. Meanwhile, let's run the bases around action from the majors yesterday. It begins with the Cincinnati Reds. They continue their hot streak to beat the Brewers last night, 6-3. Reds have now won 8 of their last 9. This win puts them as the 8th seed in a very tight National League wild card race. Meanwhile, Braves top the Marlins to shrink their magic number to 2 to clinch a playoff spot and 3 to win the division. The Braves are 1 behind RBIs from Travis d'Arnaud and Ronald Acuna. The Braves currently a 4-game lead over the Marlins in the National League East. Elsewhere, Jacob deGrom struck out 14 and the Mets still lost. What else is new? DeGrom went 7, gave up 2 runs. The Rays, with the win, solidify their lead over the Yankees to 4.5 games in the American League East. And there is only a week left in the regular season, so both these games are critical. Tonight, 6:30 on ESPN and the ESPN app, you'll see the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And then the AL West leading A's and the NL West leading Dodgers open a 3-game set at Dodger Stadium. The action tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. As we continue, Drew Brees not exactly lighting it up for the Saints. How concerned should Sean Payton be about the play of his quarterback? We'll talk about that next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.